We praise God for his work amongst the church last week, and many people were touched and blessed. And I pray and hope that the devil hasn't been in to steal that, or where he did come, that he was resisted. Hallelujah. That's the authority we have as believers in Jesus. That was last week. Today's today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Preparing for Jesus' return, preparing for his resurrection, living in the light. How do I live my life for the glory of Jesus? Will you turn to Revelation chapter 19, Revelation 19, and we'll read verses 1 to 9. Verses 1 to 9. It will also be on the screen. Revelation chapter 19. If you want to read it out loud, that's great. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Alleluia! Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. See, what I don't understand is, you know, when I say, you know, and I want to encourage you, when I say you can read it out loud, when you get to something like that, why don't you shout it out? Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Get excited. Glory, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. Did you see that last verse? Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper, that feast which no feast on earth can compare with the marriage supper of the Lamb. And who's called us, who's invited us to it? It is the Lamb of God. It is the King of Kings. It's the Lord himself who will invite us and welcome us around that wonderful table spread for you and me. His banner over us is love. I hope to be succinct this morning, and that something from the Lord's heart, something from his word, will just penetrate and will change us, change me, change you. There's really, and we're not going to cover it this morning, there's, if you like, 4 themes, 4 topics which blend together. 1, receiving the crown of righteousness. Receiving the crown of righteousness. The second is longing for Jesus' appearing. Longing, looking for Jesus' appearing. Being ready for the first resurrection. Being ready for your resurrection. And fourthly, how are we to prepare now for the return of Jesus? All linked together. And as I've been meditating on this, I've got challenged, I have to be honest, challenged. but also excited. And I want to encourage you. And yes, friends, we do need to examine ourselves. We do need to examine ourselves to make sure we're walking right with the Lord, so that we're not ashamed at his coming. If there are, as we prayed even this morning earlier, if there are idols which need tearing down, and we can also put man up as an idol. There can be many things we need to get right with the Lord. Idolatry is a terrible thing. It's one of the great sins, of course, of the Israelites. You read about in the Old Testament. They're constantly going after their own idols, even if they didn't construct things. Like the golden calf, for example, which you read about in Exodus, they were still pursuing other things other than the Lord God. They were his special chosen people, but they were doing their own thing. They were falling for the harlot. We must learn from these things. So I repeat that, receiving the crown of righteousness. Wow. Longing, looking for the appearing of Jesus. Being ready for the first resurrection. And how we are to prepare ourselves for the return of Jesus. Remember, there was an awful, awful ruler called Nero. Terrible man. A great despot. He was a terrible man. He hated, pursued, murdered many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was one who judged the Apostle Paul, for example. He judged him. But you see, the Apostle Paul knew there was one greater than Nero. There was a righteous judge. There was a judge who judged righteously. Listen, if you 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. Listen to the Apostle Paul's testimony. May it be yours, may it be mine. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 5 to 8. But you, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also all who have loved, all who have looked for, all who have yearned for his appearing. Be diligent, come to me quickly. See, this is the testimony of Paul, okay? He might be tried, he might be being persecuted, but he knows he's fought the good fight of faith. He has sought to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's eagerly awaiting the crown of righteousness. And that crown of righteousness will be given to all who are longing for his appearing. You see, receiving the crown of righteousness. For me, that is most impressive. You see, the Lord, who is the righteous judge, will give the crown of righteousness to all who are looking for his appearing. That's a promise. All who are looking for his appearing, they will be given that crown of righteousness. But the scriptures do make clear that this crown of righteousness will be given only to a certain group of people. It's only going to be given to a certain group of people. The people who have chosen to have poured themselves out in love to the Lord, being intimate with him even now, and whose lives are poured out in service to the King of Kings. See, it's what we're doing now is preparation for receiving the crown of righteousness. God has marked out that special group, the people who are longing for the return of Jesus. And for them, God does have a special honor, the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness. Of course, we have to be very, very careful when we speak about special groups, because clearly that can cause problems. That's obvious. But there is this group of people that the Word of God, the Bible, authenticates as being a special people. The called out ones who are zealous to do good works here below. Because they know that they have been rescued from the pit of hell. That they know that they have been delivered from bondage to sin. That they now have the freedom to choose to obey God and do His will on earth. These are a special people. They have the Holy Spirit. They may fall, they may stumble. They may make mistakes. They may sin. Words may come out of their mouth which they wished had never come out. But they're quick when they realize that they grieve the Holy Spirit and others, to say sorry and repent. They're still wanting the will of God done on earth. They're wanting to be used as vessels for the glory of Jesus. They want to make a difference. Although their citizenship is in heaven, they're on earth for the time. This is preparation time for when they will receive the crown of righteousness. That well done, you good and faithful servant. I think this is wonderful. Born again Christians, Spirit-filled Christians, we should have a deep, deep longing for the return of Jesus, because that extends the involvement in the first resurrection and the reward, because it is a reward in a sense. It's all of God's grace. But the Bible talks about this reward, the crown of righteousness. This should reflect and cause us some self-examination, I feel. Because in our own state, in our own nature, we won't qualify. No one will qualify. It is all God's grace, but there has to be a willingness. There has to be that desire to want to follow Christ now, to serve Him now, to make a difference, that His kingdom comes now among us, so that we are ready in that great day to receive the crown of righteousness. A desire to live that holy, sanctified, set apart people, knowing that we are, and we repeat it again, kings and priests. Hallelujah. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen nation. We are a people belonging to God, a set apart people to declare the praises of Him who loves us. These are the people who are being prepared to receive that crown of righteousness. This phrase, loving His appearing or looking for His appearing, is quite an interesting phrase, isn't it? Because some people would say that, oh, if you're just looking for His appearing, His return, then you're not going to be much use on earth. But the Apostle Paul's testimony is totally different to that. You know, what we do here below has an impact on what is going to happen later, we should be making sure that we're right with God now through Christ Jesus, and that we're doing all we can with His almighty help to serve and love Him and do the works that are pleasing to Him, letting our light shine before men so that we're not ashamed at the day of His coming. So if we're looking, it means that, hey, Lord, I know that dressed in my filthy rags, I would be dreading your appearing. I would be absolutely dreading it because there would be condemnation at the end. But because of your mercy, because I'm dressed in the righteousness of Jesus, because you have cleansed me from my sin, you've washed me by the precious blood of the Lamb, I am yours. I belong to you. And I want to see my Master. I want to see the King of Kings. Because I know that that day is going to be an amazing day. When I see that crown of righteousness, and all that belong to sin and self will be done away for good, and I will live and reign eternally with Christ Jesus, looking, yearning, longing for his appearing. If we are, it's going to make so much difference to our life here below, our lifestyle, our attitudes, our choices, the love that we give out. God sees and recognizes this group, this special group of people. The fact that they're yearning for Jesus. And they will be given this crown of righteousness. Are we hoping, longing for his appearing? The motivation for the way that we live now should be the anticipation of the coming of the Lord and the resurrection. And the resurrection. You can't force me to be ready. You can encourage me. I can't force you to be ready, but I can encourage you. And that's what we want to be doing. We want to show the way even to those outside who are not yet been saved from their sin and see something of the beauty of Jesus to have eternal life now and what awaits the true believer. There are many verses in the scripture that speak strongly, that they strongly indicate that there will be Christians who seem to miss out on this. Jesus said that his coming will come when many won't be expecting it. Matthew 24 and verse 44, for example. We need, friends, to stand for righteousness and holiness. We need to shun all worldliness. All through the scriptures, but particularly the New Testament, the direction to live godly lives always leads to the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. In some churches, this isn't considered important, living holy lives in expectation of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there will be a shallowness there. Jesus says, enter heaven, if you like, through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate that leads to destruction. Many are those who enter it, but the gate is narrow, the gate is straitened, the gate is restricted that leads to eternal life. Few there be that find it. That's Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. This is the group who long to live holy lives for God, who are separate from the world, and who are going to make an impact, a difference on earth. They will receive the crown of righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus is called in the scriptures, isn't he? Paul refers to him in Titus, for example, as the great God and Saviour. He uses it in other passages as well, but I know he does in Titus. Jesus, the great God and Saviour. Very important that we understand that it is Jesus, and it is Jesus who is God. It takes God in the person of Jesus Christ to save us. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come to the Father but through me. Then he says in another place, just in Hebrews 9 and verses 27 and 28, we read here the writer says something very, very important about our Lord Jesus. He says, just as it is appointed for all men to die once, and after that the judgment, so it is that Jesus, having been offered to bear the sins of many once and for all, will appear a second time, not to carry any burden of sin, but to bring to the full salvation those who are patiently waiting for him. I read from a different translation there, but see, it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ, blessed be his name, was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly get it, to those who are yearning, to those who are looking, to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Are you eagerly awaiting and looking for Jesus? Such will receive the crown of righteousness. I hope you are. I hope you are. Friends, we've got two appointments. One is death, and another is judgment. There's death and judgment. There is no second chance. We don't believe in reincarnation. It's not in the Word of God. We all need now to live in the light of these two appointments. Let's read that again. It is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear the second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Because when he comes the second time, he won't be the sin burden bearer. He came the first time to take away your sin and my sin. Blessed be his name. There's no Savior like him. There is only one Savior. He came to redeem us from our sins. He came to set us free. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. No longer slaves to sin. No longer in bondage to the devil. We have been delivered. If you're a believer in Jesus, saved. And saved for a purpose, that we will now glorify his name and reign with him forever and ever. We're longing for his appearing, because one day that crown of righteousness will be ours. All will die, because after death there is the judgment. The next time Jesus appears, it won't be to take away sin. He's come now and has given us all the opportunity to believe on his name, to be set free, to be forgiven. When he's coming, he will come to bring his full salvation to those who are eagerly waiting for him. He will come to bring his full salvation. All Christians should be waiting for Jesus. Why? Many reasons, but, well, that we will see him, but the coming of Jesus will bring about the final consummation, if you like, of our personal salvation. The complete transformation, even of our physical body. Hallelujah. Our salvation is not complete until we have received our new, resurrected, heavenly and glorious bodies that will last forever. Hallelujah. And it will be like unto Jesus' resurrected body. Wow. Well, that's why we should be longing, looking for this. Hallelujah. You know, that knowledge alone should give us, if you like, a new perspective on our salvation. Because our death is not the end of us. Glory to his name. And we're not going to come back as cows, snakes, or adders. Hallelujah! Glory to his name! Praise God! Yes! This mortal flesh, our bones, and the blood that is pumping our bodies now, that's not our permanent condition. It's not our permanent condition. It's just one stage. And then there's a life beyond that. Hallelujah. And these scriptures that we've been reading this morning tell us that for the real believer, the zealous believer, the believer who wants to mature in their faith and in godly living, that they who hold on to these things will know life forevermore. It gets better. Hey, actually it takes a very strong Christian to want to lose everything. Think about that. It takes a very strong Christian, somebody who really knows their God and has faith and confidence in him and on his promises, to want to lose everything. Can you think of anybody in Scripture, in the New Testament, who had that zeal, that desire? And yeah, he did. Absolutely. Let's put that Scripture up, can you, Godson, please? Thank you. That's the one I had in mind. Yeah, Philippians 3, verse 8 to around about 15, 14, 15. Philippians 3. Let's look, is this your testimony? Because if it is, you know, you'll be looking and longing. I pray this will be so for each one of us. Let's read it out. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Carry on. Yeah, down to verse 15, if that's possible. Sorry, Godson, you thought you'd finished your work just now. Verse 9. Can you see it? And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Carry on. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means, see, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. From that, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this even to you. So I'm going to challenge with myself and all of you this morning. Are you immature enough to want that? If not, sorry, can you put that last verse on again? Sorry, Godson. If not, I'm going to pray the Apostle Paul's prayer over you, that God will reveal it to you. I'm going to finish. Godson, can you, can you put all those verses back on again, 8 to 15, please. Thank you. Thank you. This is serious stuff, friends. Okay? This isn't in the scripture just to titillate us, or, well, this is attainable for Paul, but it's not attainable for Alan or Jim. This is attainable for everybody. This is God's will for you and for me. This is the Christian life he wants you and me now. So that we will receive that crown of righteousness, long for his appearing, for his coming again. Hallelujah. and for living with him forever and ever. Let's read this out, if you can, but make it a statement of faith. Make it a statement of faith and see what God will do in your life. Even as you declare this, see if you mean this and if I mean this. If these are desires coming from your heart right now, see what God is going to transform you. It's going to transform you even how you face Monday. It will. And if at the end you think, hey, I don't quite have the faith for that, I don't quite agree with that, we will pray that last prayer because God wants it for you and he wants it for me. He really does. He wants it for this fellowship. So if we can, this is the word of God. It's powerful. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Let's stop a minute. Yes, if you do want to, I want you to be free. You don't have to, you kneel, you can be prostrate on the ground. I don't, the Holy Spirit doesn't mind as long as there's sincerity now coming from our hearts, because he wants to do a work within us. Let's start again from the top. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or even perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He's being perfectly honest. He knows he's not quite got there yet. There's a work in progress. There's a work in progress with you, brother, sister. It's a work in progress. This is his desire. I'm going to press on because I'm going to lay hold for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. If you're laying on hold on what Jesus has laid hold on you, he's stronger than you. He's stronger than the enemy. He's not going to let you go. So let's continue. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Remind Satan of his future. He has nothing on you now. If you're in the beloved, that which is behind, your sins, your failings, your mistakes, the disasters are behind. You can forget them. As far as the east is from the west, God has forgotten them. You forget them. Verse 14. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this even to you. Father, please, you've heard our prayers. Hallelujah. Hear us, we pray. And Lord, help us even this week to keep using this scripture. Being people of faith, pressing on, determined that by your grace we are going to receive that crown of righteousness, and pressing on even now to all that you have got for us now
for our families, for our workplaces, for our community, for this church. Now, pressing on, not faint-hearted, pressing into all that you've got for us now. And Lord, anyone who's struggling, who couldn't really pray that, you're going to be merciful, I know, Lord. Will you please reveal to them your will? Please, you will do so for your glory, your honour. We're happy to pray for anyone. We'll just be a moment and two in prayer, in quiet, and please allow the Holy Spirit to speak, quicken, convict, deliver. We spoke the other week about that exchange of clothing, the dirty clothes, our own sin, our nakedness, the exchange that the Lord did in giving us the robe of righteousness. We didn't deserve it. Too many Christians are content to remain there. They think they've got eternal life, that's it. That wasn't the Apostle Paul's. That wasn't his thinking. That wasn't his ambition. And the prayers that we've just prayed, that's for the person who wants to go on into the Lord more and more. For the Lord to have more of us, to know the total emptying of self and the filling of the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Holy Spirit. So that we will live lives worthy of the calling to which we have been called. And longing for his appearing and receiving that crown of righteousness. Faith, but it's in the work of Jesus. And this morning Jesus hasn't asked you or me to do anything that he's not going to give the strength, the grace, the power to do it. As long as we're willing. Forsaking all. All rubbish, dung, dross, which is not of Jesus. What an exchange. I press on. I press on. I press on. What he's laid up for me.